Wes Davis, freelance photographer, Empire News Service, a CIA front in Vietnam and Asia. Surfaced after the Hearst kidnappings as an expert on Maoist brainwashing, often quoting Joseph Romero inside San Quentin with criticism, self-criticism techniques as proof of Korean influence in Berkeley. His sanctimonious speeches ignore the billion-dollar investment in American prisons and hospitals, which funds research on behavior modification techniques, including psychosurgery, chemosurgery, the use of mind-altering drugs, electric shock, and electrode implants. The Vacaville Medical Facility, where SLA was nurtured, is notorious for such experimentations. Davis heads an organization called World Humanity Against Totalitarianism. This group helped set up the speeches of Reverend Sun Myung Moon, defender of Richard Nixon against impeachment. Reverend Moon is part of General Park's South Korean intelligence, CIA. Genuine Christians in South Korea are suspicious of him. Before continuing here, the pattern to note here, and as I think is probably already pretty clear to listeners, is that the people involved with the SLA were largely police agents, intelligence agents, or people who appeared to have been employed by a lot of these departments. There were many dupes involved, but not only the cast of characters, but the contradictory behavior, if one is to accept the SLA at face value, are one of the things to focus on here.
Continuing with the cast of characters, Donald DeFries, alias Donald David DeFries, Don Sinque, DeFries, David Thomas, David Kennedy Robinson, Donald John DeFries, Donald DeFrez, John DeFriel, Stephen Robinson, Sin, Sinque, General Field Marshal Sin, SLA. Born in Cleveland, Ohio, oldest of eight children, beaten by father, forced to leave home at age 14, left Cleveland. Lived with Reverend W. Foster, Buffalo, New York. Became deeply religious. Arrested for robbing a parking meter, later for stealing a car and a weapon. Spent 2 years in a reformatory, surrounded by, quote, hell, loneliness, fear, hatred. Tried to keep out of fights and avoid homosexual advances. Married Glory Thomas, age 23, mother of three children. They had three more children. Marriage filled with rejection, disappointment. Tried to work and support Glory. Differences drove him to California. Began drinking, taking drugs, collecting weapons. Arrested on 9 separate occasions. Charges involved possession of bombs and explosives, knife, sawed-off shotguns, robbery, assault, possession of 200 firearms, grand larceny, kidnapping, and escaping arrest. From 1967 to 1969, worked as a police informer for the Los Angeles Police Department under Detective R.G. Farwell, Public Disorder Intelligence Unit. At the time, the LAPD was supplying weapons to black agents and hiring them to kill Black Panthers. DeFries worked with police agent provocateur Ron Karenga, head of the United Slaves Organization. Later, other members of Karenga's group were at Vacaville Medical Facility with DeFries. U.S. used the seven-headed cobra, later adopted by the SLA, for its symbol. Nothing in DeFries' background indicated a political consciousness while he worked as a police intelligence informer. In December 1967, DeFries led police to an apartment where a cache of 200 stolen weapons were found. On November 11, 1969, DeFries exchanged gunshots with a bank guard and wounded him. Using a .32-caliber Beretta automatic pistol, one of the 200 stolen guns that the police had apparently allowed him to keep. In 1968, Glory DeFries wrote to the authorities following an arrest of her husband, reminding them that they had promised him protection from arrest while he worked for them. In 1969, DeFries subpoenaed District Attorney Evel Younger to testify in his behalf. Younger has always maintained close contact with LAPD's Criminal Conspiracy Section, CCS. During 1969, DeFries maintained a nice house only a few blocks from the Los Angeles airport, close to his death trap. He was in the business of pimping for black judges and airport officials, fixing them up with women. He drove around in a city truck during the day and gave the impression to one of his women that he was employed by the city. Late in 1969, DeFries' religious conscience began to bother him. Detective Farwell decided that he was no longer useful to the LAPD and, quote, cut him loose. In December 1969, DeFries was sent to Chino for, quote, psychiatric testing. From there, he was sent to Vacaville Medical Facility for a term of 6 to 14 years, where he was to undergo a drastic and ultimately fatal personality change. Dr. Frederick Hacker, an expert on, quote, terrorism, was assigned to Donald DeFries for psychiatric evaluation. He later became a consultant to Randolph Hearst after Patty was kidnapped. In 1970, DeFries wrote to Judge William L. Ritzy that he, quote, wanted to tell everything. Quote, I want to let you know what really happened and why. I am going to talk to you truthfully like I am talking to God. I will tell you things no one has ever known before. Judge Ritzy wasn't interested. In 1970, Colston Westbrook, who had been trained in the psychological warfare unit of the CIA, became the CIA control officer for DeFries and the group that was to become the SLA. Westbrook headed an experimental behavior modification unit called the Black Cultural Association, BCA, at Vacaville. DeFries assumed a militant anti-white cover while meeting with white agents who were brought into the prison system. While in prison, DeFries worked as a double agent for Westbrook and the CIA and for the California Department of Corrections and Bureau of Criminal Intelligence and Investigation. He was responsible to Attorney General Evel Younger. Westbrook, in charge of DeFries for 2 years, bragged about how he brought beautiful women into the groups. Quote, they accused me of taking sexy-looking black women wearing high miniskirts into the prison. Sure, I took some foxes, some of my prime stock in there. Because if you want to dangle a carrot in front of the inmates to get them to learn and come to meetings, you don't dangle communism. You dangle fine-looking chicks. The SLA women say I tortured the inmates by taking in chicks they couldn't do anything to. That's why those lesbians were mad at me. Unquote. Vacaville Medical Facility was not a political science institute. Colston Westbrook was not instructing inmates in, quote, communism for the CIA and Department of Corrections. For what purpose did Westbrook bait DeFries with his carrot stick technique and his, quote, prime stock? In December 1972, DeFries met Thero Wheeler, inmate, for 1 month. In December 1972, DeFries was transferred to Soledad Prison. He was placed in South Facility, set up for trusted inmates, and a holding section for informers. One inmate described DeFries' departure from Soledad. Quote, while Donald DeFries was here, I had a few conversations with him. I have always questioned his departure as being a simple walk away. I didn't come into contact with him personally until his last couple of weeks here. There weren't many who would associate with him. He tried to give the impression of being super cool, and he came across as cold. When I met him, he was working in the maintenance shop. I asked him if he was happy on his job, because if not, I might be able to find him something else. He replied that within a few days he was going to be assigned to work in the boiler room at the South facility. I questioned that because he didn't have enough time here to be given that trust. I know cons that have been turned down for that position. He wouldn't comment. He only gave me a big smile. I should explain that no prisoners were kept at the South facility at that time because it had no security. No gun towers were in operation, and there were no guards posted. A few prisoners with proven records of trust were taken from Central Facility to South Facility to perform certain duties. Then they would be returned to Central after their shift. A few days later, DeFries did get that job. Midnight to 8 a.m. shift in the boiler room, South Facility. On his first night, he was dropped off at midnight and given a few instructions. His job was automatic. It only required an overseer. He was left to himself, and when an officer returned an hour later to check on him, he was gone. Unquote. A few months after leaving Vacaville, DeFries was given a special privilege at Soledad Prison. He was allowed to use the marital trailers for visits with women, a privilege normally reserved for married men. Did Westbrook provide women for DeFries even though he was not meeting him with prison visits? Donald DeFries walked out of Soledad Prison in March 1973. His transportation to the Bay Area was allegedly arranged by Deputy Superintendent James Nelson. Another former employee from Soledad, currently owner of a liquor store in Sacramento, assisted in the departure, which was later classified as, quote, an escape. His name will be turned over to a grand jury when there is a proper investigation of the case. In spring of 1973, Bernard Keaton, a double for Donald DeFries, visited the Foster family in Buffalo, New York. He passed himself off as DeFries, who had lived with the family 15 years ago, and he knew intimate details of their life. In August 1973, Thero Wheeler walked away from Vacaville Medical Facility. From August to October 1973, DeFreeze and Wheeler met, quote, at least 20 times with the SLA in Oakland. DeFreeze made his public appearance as General Field Marshal Sin Q of the SLA following the kidnapping of Patricia Hearst. In March 1974, DeFreeze publicly named Colston Westbrook, Chris Thompson, and Robin Steiner as CIA and FBI informers. On May 4, 1974, Donald Freed, writer, and Lake Headley, independent investigator, held a press conference in San Francisco. They presented 400 pages of documentation on DeFreeze's arrest records, the work of Colston Westbrook with the CCS and CII, Criminal Identification and Investigation, and evidence of links of the CIA to police departments. May 17, 1974, New York Times carried the story of DeFreeze and the Los Angeles Police Department. That same day, he was cremated by the Los Angeles Police Department. The LAPD did not notify DeFreeze's family of his death for 3 days. His remains were sent to Cleveland, Ohio, with the head and the fingers missing. Billions of dollars are spent confining, arresting, judging, punishing, altering, and experimenting upon men like DeFreeze. If the same attention and money were spent on understanding and helping them, events like the SLA saga would never happen. Needless to say, that's May's interpolation, and from time to time during this article, you will realize that these are opinions being stated, especially when they're not things that are specifically linked to the facts. Of course, one of the reasons is that, you know, when you work on a case like this, doing the amount of research that Mae Russell did, finding the incredible holes in the story, it is needless to say rather frustrating to realize the amount of money that the government spends on programs like this instead of actually trying to address the problems that cause civil unrest and things of that nature.
Yeah, again, there are places in here, obviously, where Mae does editorialize a bit. There are listeners or researchers that might take objection to that. I think from a stylistic standpoint, that could be criticized quite validly. The fact of the matter is that the substance of her research is beyond impeachment, and this is not only one of the most important pieces of political research ever done in this country, but as we'll see, if we examine the SLA, which took place in California under Governor Reagan, it's unnervingly prophetic and a harbinger of things to come under Ronald Reagan as president. Indeed, one of the important aspects of the article is that it forecasts the sorts of events that we're seeing under Ronald Reagan and the restriction of liberties under Attorney General Meese, and we'll be coming to that a little later. About Donald DeFreeze, it's important to note that he worked with the very same criminal conspiracy section as Lewis Tackwood, as Ron Karenga, and the others, that he grows out of this very same police intelligence and federal intelligence milieu and that we've looked at in the past, and particularly centered around the California prison system. Continuing with May's article, Why Was Patricia Hearst Kidnapped? Amanda de Normanville, former student of Berkeley School of Criminology, supposedly housed Donald DeFreeze after he left Soledad Prison. Again, DeFreeze was allowed special visits with women in marital trailers while in prison, a privilege allowed only to married men. Amanda visited DeFreeze in prison and was reported to be romantically involved with him. Prisons keep detailed records of visitors, but the police never went to Amanda's house in the Bay Area to search for DeFreeze after his escape. Joanne DeVito and ex-husband Joseph DeVito. Joanne was Russell Little's sister. She was interested in prisons and in Donald DeFreeze. The SLA house in Concord was rented by Mr. and Mrs. J. DeVito, aliases for Russell Little and Nancy Ling Perry. Joseph DeVito was questioned by FBI agents in Isla Vista, California on March 26, 1974. Held for interstate flight from prosecution of a prior crime in Florida, nature of crime not stated. Dr. Marcus Foster, Superintendent, Oakland Unified School District. Fatally wounded November 6, 1973. Robert Blackburn, Deputy Superintendent, also critically wounded. Both men had moved from Philadelphia together in 1970. Oakland had put police in the schools as part of the federal government's push to solve social problems with law and order government. This and other measures became the excuse for Foster's murder. Willie Wolfe, who had no children, attended Oakland school board meetings and told prisoners in Vacaville that, quote, something had to be done to prevent Foster from implementing student identification programs, unquote. Colston Westbrook and other prison visitors aroused the anger of black inmates against Foster. 2 weeks before the killing, the American Nazi Party handed out leaflets in nearby San Leandro predicting the murder of a Mixmaster school superintendent, unquote, and his white friend. Foster was shot with cyanide bullets and didn't stand a chance. Blackburn, the white man, was shot with ordinary bullets and lived. The quantity of cyanide in the bullets was not as important as the selective methods of kill versus survival. Foster's death was a blow to the black community, where he was needed and well-liked. The SLA surfaced immediately after the murder, taking credit for the assassination in the name of the Symbionese Liberation Army Western Regional Youth Unit, unquote. Two black people were seen leaving the scene of the Foster murder. When Ramiro and Little were indicted for the crime, black makeup was found in their house. This makeup can be worn by whites emulating blacks. How many other whites in blackface are killing and kidnapping? Blaming blacks for white murders is consistent with a fascistic escalation of terror to speed up genocide. Dave Gunnell, G-U-N-N-E-L-L, in late 30s, older than other SLA members, lived with Gene Chan in a house on Chabot Road, Berkeley, called Peking House, which was a meeting place for the SLA. The name Peking House was played up by CIA agent Wes Davis as proof that Mao was behind the SLA. Gunnell sold Chinese food from a food stand on Bancroft Way, adjacent to the UC Berkeley campus, next to Fruity Rudy's stand, where Nancy Ling Perry worked. Gunnell claimed he did not know Nancy. Gunnell was a jazz musician, like Nancy's husband and Rudolph Henderson, alias Fruity Rudy. Chris Thompson, named by DeFries as CIA, was a frequent visitor at Peking House and a source of contact with Nancy Ling Perry, Camilla Hall, and Patricia Soltysik. Willie Wolfe, Russell Little, and Robin Steiner lived in Peking House. If Peking House were indeed a haven for radicals, if the SLA was visiting California prisons, and if Maoist doctrines were being taught at the house, the FBI and California police would have been well aware of the SLA members before Patty Hearst was kidnapped. Yet, in spite of the SLA's attempted infiltration of every radical group in the area, their weekend target practice at gun clubs and the assortment of guns registered in their names, the residents of Peking House were quite inconspicuous as far as the police were concerned. Gunnell was not into politics, unquote. Camilla Hall, alias Gabby. Daughter of Lutheran minister Reverend D.G. Hall, graduate of University of Minnesota, excelled in English and art. Social worker for 3 years before moving to California. Shared apartment with Patricia Soltysik, wrote poetry for her, named her Ms. Moon, unquote. Authentic Berkeley artist, sensitive, gentle, into ecology and the women's movement. Not into radical politics, drawn into SLA with Patricia Soltysik to lend authenticity to cover story that SLA was a group of Berkeley hippie radicals. Traveled in Spain in 1972. What other countries? Worked as a groundskeeper for the regional parks, fired in fall 1973. Disappeared in December of 1973, a month after SLA claimed credit for murder of Dr. Foster. Blue VW, similar to Camilla's, seen scouting Stephen Weed's apartment before Patty's kidnapping. January 2nd, 1974, purchased .380 caliber automatic Mauser pistol and registered it under her name. February 4th, 1974, Patricia Hearst kidnapped. February 14, 1974, Camilla moved out of her apartment, taking only her pet cat. Photographed at Hibernia Bank robbery in San Francisco as a gun-toting radical terrorist. This act was inconsistent with Camilla's hatred of war and violence. Christine Johnson, the last person to see Camilla Hall alive, said she was holding two bottles in her hands with something white around the bottles. She was walking around, looked like a zombie or something, halfway smiling, unquote. Emily Harris, alias Anna Linenberg, or Yolanda. Daughter of a wealthy consulting engineer from Illinois suburbs. B.A., University of Indiana, Language Arts. Training, CIA Think Tank, College of Foreign Affairs, University of Indiana, Bloomington. Worked with William Harris and Angela Atwood in Mod Squad, setting up narcotics arrests for the Intelligence Division, Indiana State Police. When the Harris' apartment was vacated, among the names left in an address book was Tim Casey from Orange County. Emily and Tim dated during the summers of 1967 and 8 while she was working in California at Disneyland Hotel. Were there any links between the two clients of J. Walter Thompson Advertising Agency, Disneyland Hotel, and the San Francisco Police Department. I would interject here, J. Walter Thompson is a very political ad agency, doing, among other things, the PR work for Richard Nixon's 1968 campaign, has worked in conjunction with the National Security Establishment on a number of occasions. Continuing with May's account, was Emily in touch with espionage agents from Orange County? Described as, quote, cold, intelligent, the strength of the family, had leadership ability, unquote. Moved to Oakland late 1972 with the Atwoods. Employed as clerk typist, Survey Research Center, polling office, unquote, at University of California. Not in politics in Indiana, never involved in radical movements. On moving to California, immediately joined Chino Defense Committee, an offshoot of Marxist-Leninist Venceremos organization. Worked to aid members accused of a prison break, wrote letters on their behalf, visited prison inmates Doc Holliday and Baron Broadnax, who had long been targets of the prison system, and State Attorney General Ebel Younger. She traveled several hundred miles from Oakland to San Luis Obispo each week to make these prison visits. At the time, the Black Guerrilla family and the Chino Defense Fund were filled with infiltrators and agents provocateurs. Emily's last prison visit was January 10, 1974, the day Ramiro and Little were arrested. It is not clear why the Harrises left Bloomington. They had toyed with politics and posed in the school annual with Bill jokingly holding a book entitled About Communism, but they were not into radical politics. Cover story to the effect that underemployment radicalized middle-class America, unquote, has no basis in fact. Underemployment is consistent with clandestine assignments. Through her work, Emily Harris allegedly had access to Patty Hearst's school schedule. Denials merely indicate that investigation should proceed on this matter. Remember Watergate denials? The Harris's apartment in Oakland was modern, well-furnished, with a color TV, a waterbed, imported kitchenware, and fine china. They read the Straight Press, Time, the Oakland Tribune. A Maoist poster and a picture of a starving child hung over their dining table. Donald Segretti, White House spy, had a Free Huey Newton poster over his desk and wore a peace emblem and long hair for espionage cover. William and Emily Harris were verbally and visually radical. Emily owned a gun registered in her name and practiced shooting twice a week at the Chabot Gun Club in Oakland. Emily's father, Mr. Schwartz, said on TV that in her last letter, she explained a change in her lifestyle, saying that she had been pretending for some time, unquote. Her other life, the straight life, with material possessions, non-radical experiences, formal education, and employment at the UCB polling office, might indicate that the SLA experience did not reflect her real self. Suddenly abandon her husband for a black lover, unquote, and disappearing with Randolph Hearst's daughter might have been part of her next assignment.
Continuing with the cast of characters, William Harris, alias Rip Kimberly, Richard Frank Dennis, Jonathan Mark Salamone, Tico. B.A., University of Indiana, studied speech and English. Enlisted in U.S. Marines, served at the supply depot at Da Nang. Joseph Ramiro and Colston Westbrook were in Vietnam at the same time. Returned to Indiana. Joined fraternity, competed in golf and cross-country running. Member of, quote, Mod Squad with Emily and Angela Atwood. Set up narcotics arrest for the Intelligence Division, Indiana State Police. Studied at College of Foreign Affairs, University of Indiana. Taught at Bloomington Junior High School before coming to California. Received master's degree in, quote, urban education at Indiana. CIA agent Colston Westbrook, leader of the group which became the SLA, taught, quote, black lexicon in the Department of Urban Affairs at UC Berkeley. Not a campus radical, but kept posters of Black Panthers Huey Newton and Bobby Seale in trailer in Indiana following his return from Vietnam. Later, the SLA headquarters contained a map of Huey Newton's apartment, and his name was listed as a possible death target. In California, worked as a truck driver for post office. Postal helmet discovered November 10, 1973, following the arrest of Ramiro and Little at Sutherland Courthouse in Concord. Harris could have been identified by police at that time, before the Hearst kidnapping. November 1973, purchased 9mm Mauser pistol, registered in his own name. Joined Chabot Gun Club in Oakland and practiced twice a week. Associated with, but not active in, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, a heavily infiltrated organization. rented SLA Safe House in December 1973 that would be filled with propaganda which would later be used by Attorney General William Saxby for future political terrorism and repression. Driver's license from Rhode Island. Never explained when or why Harris was in Rhode Island. Mayor Alioto, that's of course Mayor Joseph Alioto of San Francisco, Mayor Alioto claimed Emily and William Harris intended to kidnap his grandchildren. Considering the Harris' provocateur role and Alioto's election campaign for governor, it is possible that they obliged him by making themselves conspicuous in his neighborhood without being arrested by police. Caused an altercation at Mel's Sporting Goods store, Inglewood, that would be the signal for the prearranged murder of six SLA members. Set Patty up in the, quote, shooting scene. Purposely introduced and identified Tanya to Tom Matthews during an unnecessary 12-hour captivity. Supervised her so-called, quote, confession to Matthews, framing her so that 22 charges would be brought against her. Harris's military ID was found in the death house on 54th Street in Los Angeles. It was not explained why a radical revolutionary terrorist was still using his military ID. Set Patty Hearst up so that she could witness the massacre of the other SLA members. June 7, 1974, released another SLA communique, hardly the rhetoric of George Jackson, Malcolm X, Chairman Mao, or Martin Luther King. The man with a BA in English and a master's degree produced a provocative, foul-mouthed public display that could only harm legitimate protest. Harris is probably currently hiding in a CIA safe house ranch, preparing for his next outrageous actions. While the Harrises acted as provocateurs and set Patty Hearst up, they themselves are not wanted for anything. Quote, the Harrises are less militant than their six SLA comrades. So far, the Harrises were not overtly involved in any of these incidents, unquote. So says Charles Bates, chief of FBI, San Francisco. Quote, I feel that Bill and Emily Harris have lost touch with the masses. They have become isolated. The SLA is not an organized group that plans its actions, as far as I can see. My political friends and comrades think the SLA has a superfly mentality. They line their pockets with the bank robbery money and accomplish nothing but spreading of fear, unquote. That's attributed to Bill Brennan, former roommate of Joseph Romero. Were Emily or William Harris ever in touch with the masses, or was their role as police agents to do exactly as they were told? Ron Karenga, black leader of the U.S. United Slaves Organization. In December 1967, Detective Sergeant R. Farwell recruited Donald DeFries to work for the Public Disorder Intelligence Unit of the CCS, Criminal Conspiracy Section, LAPD. Its purpose was to monitor black political activities in California. Karenga worked with DeFries and the LAPD as part of a blank-blank unit, and that's a blank rather than the word there, running guns to various black militant groups, hoping to set off a gang war between the Black Panthers and the U.S. organization. U.S. member Melvin Cotton Smith helped set up Black Panther busts for the police. The Steiner brothers, working with Karenga and the LAPD, killed Panther leaders John Huggins and Al Prentice Bunchy Carter at UCLA. Members of Karenga's group were at Vacaville with DeFries. In April 1974, the Steiner brothers were allowed to walk away from San Quentin as Thero Wheeler walked away from Vacaville and DeFries walked out of Soledad a year earlier. The Steiner brothers seem to have disappeared without a trace. Where are they now? Did they play any role in setting up their former comrade and informer, DeFries, back home in Los Angeles? Bernard Keaton, double for Donald DeFries. Surfaced in spring 1973 after DeFries walked away from Soledad. Claimed to be Donald DeFries. Moved in with Reverend W. Foster and family in Buffalo. Familiar with intimate details of the family history that only DeFries would have known about. FBI stated that they are not concerned or curious about DeFries' double, that it, quote, isn't illegal. The only reason for having a double would be that in case DeFries had been accidentally picked up by law enforcement officers in the Bay Area during the time between his, quote, departure from Soledad and the kidnapping of Patricia Hearst, his double could have taken his place in prison. 3 long years had gone into training DeFries for his mission at Vacaville Medical Facility. It couldn't be thrown away. Ludlow Kramer, Secretary of State, Washington State. Director of PIN, people in need, the Hearst Food Giveaway. Hired by Randolph Hearst to distribute $2 million worth of food to the poor. I should just mention that was at the express wish of the SLA, that once Patty Hearst was kidnapped. Continuing with Mae Russell's article. Previous experience handing out food during NASA and military job layoffs in Washington. Quality of that food was good, and provoked violence was not a part of this previous assignment. PIN food program was a disaster. It was a catalytic, provocateur action to hasten Patty's conversion to the SLA. Meat was bought for Hearst's program from, quote, the nation's major meat packers at triple the normal cost. It contained up to 75% fat. Some of the food was contaminated. Governor Ronald Reagan hoped the people who took the food would get botulism. His mission accomplished, Kramer returned to Washington in time to run for Congress on the Republican ticket with substantial financial backing. Kramer pushed for, quote, vote by voice print by 1984, identification of every adult by voice and social security number. During this time, March 1974, Congress passed a bill to pay $10 million to five chicken growers from the South. Their chicken feed was poisoned, somehow, with dieldrin, a cancer-inducing insecticide. Nobody knows how it got into the chicken feed. Millions of poisoned chickens had already been delivered to poor school lunch programs in Chicago and Detroit. Question, did any of those poisoned chickens make their way into the PIN food distribution program? Russell Little, alias George Devoto, Robert James Scalise, Osceola. Father a mechanic at Naval Air Station, Pensacola, Florida. Little also stated that father was a retired labor relations specialist. Graduated from University of Florida, Gainesville, 1967. Allegedly took a course on revolution, where he was introduced to communist writers such as Marx, Lenin, Mao, Cleaver, and Malcolm X. Studied engineering, electronics. Questioned by police in Philadelphia when Dr. Marcus Foster was leading an anti-drug campaign in that city. Why was Little there? Was Foster marked earlier for identification and death? Traveled in U.S., locations not identified, before arriving in Oakland. Summer of 1972, made contact with Willie Wolfe through Peking House in Berkeley. Started to visit California prisons, joined BCA at Vacaville with Donald DeFries. No previous radical experiences with prisoners or blacks. It is strange how migratory birds such as Little, Steiner, the Atwoods, and the Harrises entered immediately into the California prison, quote, reform groups. Their reforms would set prison movements back 100 years. Little joined Westbrook, DeFries, and SLA members in a small prison group, Unicite, with a Maoist cover. All took African names. Little brought controversial discussion and hatred of Dr. Foster into the prisons. Visited Death Row Jefferson, supposedly the founder of BCA. Taught at Peralta Junior College, Oakland. Bought a .380 caliber Brazilian-made Rossi revolver from Chris Thompson. This kind of weapon could be used with cyanide bullets. October 8, 1973, rented a house on Sutherland Court using alias George Devoto with Nancy Ling Perry. It became an SLA liberated zone. November 6, 1973, Dr. Marcus Foster murdered, allegedly by two black men. Little and Romero, arrested for this crime, possessed black makeup and the murder weapons. January 19, 1974, Little and Joseph Romero were taken to San Quentin, charged with the murder of Foster, as well as resisting arrest and assaulting a policeman. While in San Quentin, Little apparently read an interview with me in the Berkeley Barb, me meaning Mae Russell, with the Berkeley Barb on April 19, 1974, titled, Is SLA's Sinque the First Black Lee Harvey Oswald? Little was furious at my suggestion that the SLA was a CIA operation. He wrote a letter saying in part, quote, that dizzy bitch can kiss my ass. That pompous bitch has the nerve to call Jonathan Jackson a patsy. I hope she drops dead tomorrow. Lewis Tackwood in Glasshouse Tapes describes in detail how the LAPD knew in advance of the George Jackson, quote, escape plans and the Marin County Courthouse shootout. Jonathan Jackson was double-crossed and left abandoned without a promised backup. He was murdered by members of the LAPD. Risking his life on the line to tell the truth, Tackwood is the real freedom fighter. Little and Romero are the mouthpieces that congressmen will, quote, to, quote, prove that a violent revolution is taking place. Any person involved in radical politics is aware that most, if not all, radical groups are heavily infiltrated by espionage agents and provocateurs. What angers little is any exposure of the methods and contacts that created the SLA.
Nancy Ling Perry, alias Nancy DeVoto, Fahiza Lynn Sedworth. Family background, conservative, well off. Goldwater supporter, political conservative. Attended Santa Rosa High School, cheerleader, Sunday school teacher. B.A., Whittier College. Graduate work, UC Berkeley, specializing in chemistry. Married for 6 years to black jazz musician Gilbert Perry. Met when he was working for State Employment Office. Described as a love-hate affair, unquote. Topless blackjack dealer in San Francisco, went through a period of heavy use of psychedelic drugs and amphetamines. Politics always vague, unquote. After being openly conservative, she seemed to have no politics at all. Remained apart from groups in Berkeley, maintained her older friends from high school. She seemed to like to appear as though she had no past at all. People who knew her sensed a curious intellectual loneliness, into dope and a good source of where to buy it. No indication as to where or when radical political indoctrination took place. Trained in behavior modification, sold fruit juice at Fruity Rudy's stand on Bancroft Way near UC Berkeley campus. Dated Chris Thompson, who was the link between Peking House and Nancy, Camilla Hall, and Patricia Soltysik. Began visiting prisoners. Cover story was an interest in prison reform, unquote. She and Emily Harris appear to have been given special privileges in that they were permitted to visit more than one prisoner at a time. Were SLA members given special treatment? Nancy wrote Death to the Pigs inside Fruity Rudy's stand, just as the same slogan was written on the walls of Sharon Tate's home to make police think that blacks committed the murders. Nancy paid $553 in cash to rent the house at 1560 Sutherland Court in Concord using the alias Nancy DeVoto, unquote. The house was used as an SLA hideout and filled with ammunition, weapons, and literature. On January 10, 1974, the day Ramiro and Little were arrested for the murder of Dr. Foster, Nancy set fire to the bungalow. She did a remarkably poor job of destroying the evidence, but an excellent job of calling attention to the house and its contents. There was no personal oppression or experiences in the past that would explain participation in the murder of Foster, or acceptance of a fiery martyrdom in Los Angeles. She was apparently shot by the police while trying to get out of the house. Joseph Ramiro, alias George DeVoto, Beau, Charles Robert Peterson. Ramiro, in San Quentin, didn't cry when he heard that six SLA members had been cremated. He went on playing gin rummy. Quote, Joe was a political heavy, unquote. Devout Catholic family raised in San Francisco, trained as a stone reactionary, unquote. Member of 101st Airborne Division, volunteered twice for duty in Vietnam. Signed up to kill a commie for Christ, unquote. Participated willingly in numerous search and destroy missions. Said they were like Cali's massacre at My Lai. Declared himself to be a pacifist when he came home. This would be inconsistent with his alleged murder of Dr. Foster and the subsequent death warrants issued by the SLA. By January of 1969, Ramiro allegedly started to take a lot of drugs. He claimed he couldn't get outside my house without being completely drugged out of my head, unquote. Ramiro and Perry, both dependent upon drugs, could be manipulated by CIA agents to form the nucleus of the SLA. Perry was the theoretical brains behind the organization. Ramiro provided military and tactical support. Chemistry, weapons, and radical rhetoric were all they needed to start their army, unquote. Carlos Marighella's mini-manual for urban guerrilla warfare was to the SLA cover story what Marx's Das Kapital was to the Warren Report and Lee Harvey Oswald. The myth that Marx influenced Oswald was pure fabrication, a cover story, unquote. Ramiro was employed as a mechanic, unquote, was divorced, and had one child. July 19, 1973, he purchased a .380 caliber Walther automatic. This gun was found in his possession when he was arrested on November 10, 1973. October of 1973 went underground with Little and Willie Wolf, rented 7th Street apartment in Oakland with William and Emily Harris for Foster ambush. Racist, wanted Vietnam Veterans Against the War and Winter Soldier Organization to take the position that U.S. minorities Each should each have their own territory. Helped race war along by owning black makeup. Did he put on blackface to escalate violence in the Oakland-Berkeley area? Developed plans to kill Black Panther leaders Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. Ramiro and Little were placed in San Quentin without trial immediately after their indictment for the murder of Dr. Foster. They were given maximum media coverage to mouth radical violence. Radical violence, excuse me. Lee Harvey Oswald's public radio broadcast in New Orleans with Ed Butler of Army Intelligence was to create a cover for U.S. agents operating behind a communist front. Colston Westbrook, William Harris, and Joseph Ramiro supplied the SLA's intelligence and military tactics. Quote, I believe the SLA actions have had and are having such an inhibiting effect on political works in the Bay Area that I feel the time to speak out has come, unquote. Bill Brennan, former roommate of Ramiro. Mary Alice Seem, S-I-E-M, 24 years old, mother of small child, friend of Thero Wheeler. Frequent visitor to Wheeler at Vacaville Medical Facility. August of 1973, Wheeler escaped from Vacaville and lived with Mary Alice in the Bay Area. August through October of 1973, Mary Alice and Thero made at least 20 visits to DeFreeze and the SLA in Oakland. DeFreeze wanted to kill both of them, but was discouraged, unquote. Did he suspect them at the time of being provocateur? Mary Alice gave $600 to DeFreeze and the SLA, said she was robbed, unquote. Difficult to visualize prison escapee Wheeler and Mary Alice carrying $600 in cash to a meeting in Oakland with the SLA. Possible source of funding for DeFreeze before the kidnapping? Visitors to prisons are carefully identified, yet police didn't seek or locate Wheeler at Mary's home in the Bay Area or hold Mary for harboring an escape. Patricia Soltysik, alias Ms. Moon, Zoya, Ms. Moon Monique Ehrlich. Born in Goleta, Santa Barbara County, daughter of a pharmacist. Outstanding student, came to Berkeley in 1968, attended UC Berkeley. Worked as a part-time janitor at the Berkeley Public Library. Involved in radical politics, women's movement, gay liberation. Seen frequently with Chris Thompson, connecting link between Camilla Hall, Patricia Soltysik, Nancy Perry, and Chabot House and out-of-state imports. These three women lent authenticity to the Berkeley image of the SLA. Ms. Moon and Camilla were sensitive poets, artists, and sometime lesbians. Ms. Moon participated in the BCA at Vacaville Medical Facility. She worked with Donald DeFreeze. After DeFreeze walked out of Soledad, he lived with Ms. Moon. Ms. Moon had access to the Berkeley Library, allegedly where Sing Q found source material for SLA rhetoric. SLA tapes and written messages sound more like E. Howard Hunt than George Jackson or Sing Q, the historical slave leader. July 27, 1973, purchased 12-gauge sawed-off Mossberg shotgun under name Ms. Moon Monique Ehrlich. Changed housing from September to December 1973. Missing during time Dr. Foster was murdered. Identification in library books checked out in her name found at SLA House on Sutherland Court, January 27, 1974, 3 weeks before Hearst kidnapping. Vanished from apartment by January 1974. Photographed in Hibernia Bank Robbery, San Francisco. Cremated in Los Angeles, May 17, 1974.
Robin Steiner, 1970, met Russell Little at University of Florida. No political awareness, interest in blacks or prisoners, not an activist. Drove to California with Little in July 1972. Steiner and Little moved into commune Peking House, where Little met William Wolfe and would join Westbrook and DeFreeze at the Vacaville Medical Facility. Entered the prison as a tutor to blacks, previous training non-existent. Worked at Lucky's Market, Oakland. Broke up with Little. Left California, returned to Florida in December 1973, and went back to school. Named by DeFreeze as an FBI informer. Protected from questioning by U.S. attorney and grand jury, San Francisco police interviewed her in Florida. Lives in constant fear, quote, doesn't know who her friends are, so the tables are turned.